Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So now, once again, by the sweet mercy of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tidandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, we have another opportunity to dive even deeper into this sweet nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam. First canto, chapter number 6, the concluding verse, conversations between Narada and Vyasadev. Aho Devarshi Dhanya Ayam Yat Kirtim Shanga Danvana Gayan Majan Idam Tantra Ramayati Aturam Jagat Aho Devarshir Danyonyam Yat Kirtim Sang. Is there any more light? My eyes are getting bad with old age here. Let's see. Yat Kirtim Shargadanvana Gayan Majan Nidang Tantra Ramayati Yataram Jagat. Aho Devarshir Dhanyonyam Yat Kirtim Shargadanvana Gayan Majan Nidam Tantra Ramayat Yaturam Jagat. Aho Devarshir Dhanyonyam Yat Kirtim Shargadanvana Gayan Majannidam Tantra Ramayat Yataram Jagat. Aho, all glory to Devarshi, the sage of the gods, Dhanya, all success, Ayam Yat, one who, Kirtim, glories, Shangadanvana, of the personality of Godhead, Gayan, singing, Majan, taking pleasure in, Idam, this, Tantra, by means of the instrument, Ramayati, enlivens, Aturam, distressed, Jagat, world. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. All glory and success to Srila Narad Muni, because he glorifies the activities of the personality of Godhead. In so doing, he himself takes pleasure and also enlivens all the distressed souls of the universe. Purport. Sri Narad Muni plays on his instrument to glorify the transcendental activities of the Lord and to give relief to all miserable living entities of the universe. No one is happy here within this universe, and what is felt as happiness is Maya's illusion. The illusory energy of the Lord is so strong that even the hog who lives on filthy stool feels happy. No one can be truly happy within the material world. Srila Narad Muni, in order to enlighten the miserable inhabitants, wanders everywhere. His mission is to get them back home, back to Godhead. That is the mission of all genuine devotees of the Lord, following in the footsteps of that great sage. Thus end the Bhaktivinoda reports of the first canto, 6th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Conversation Between Narada and Vyasadeva. So, are we supposed to be genuine devotees of the Lord who follow in the footsteps of that great sage Narada? Of course. This is what we are supposed to be doing. This is what Prabhupada wants. So, therefore, that is our actual position, and our mission is to get everyone back to home, back to Godhead. This is Narada Muni's mission, and this is also the mission of all those who are sincerely following Narada Muni. Actually, we are technically speaking in the line of succession from Narada Muni, because Krishna first enlightens Brahma, tene Brahma hridayadi kaviye. Brahma enlightens Narada Muni, who enlightens Vyasadeva, and it comes down. So we are technically in that line. We are disciples, great, 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 great grand disciples, many times removed with Narada Muni. We're actually in his line. So we have to take that mission that Narada Muni has taken. It's been handed down to us through the disciplic succession. So we can study the lifestyle of Narada Muni and understand how we should be living also. It's described here, he takes pleasure in glorifying Krishna, and he also, in that same activity, enlivens the distressed souls of the universe. So we are meant to relish the bliss of Krishna consciousness. As Prabhupada always says, chant and be happy. We are meant to relish the bliss. We have to engage ourselves in such a way that we're absolutely ecstatic 24 hours a day by understanding the absolute nature of devotional service. It doesn't matter what service I'm doing, whether I'm distributing books, whether I'm cleaning the toilet for Krishna. Each and every activity that we may do in this mission of Narada Muni is absolutely ecstatic. It's non-different from Narada Muni playing on his instrument. Just like we may enjoy in the kirtan playing on these instruments. It's very sweet and very relishable. So, everything we do actually is playing on instrument. We have various instruments, the things that we engage in the service of Krishna. We may be driving Krishna's vehicle, we may be cleaning Krishna's pots. It's like playing on instrument. Everything. Playing on instrument. So we have to learn how to relish each and every service we may do. It doesn't matter. Some may think, well, devotional service is wonderful. I want to do this kind of service, but I don't want to do that kind of service. So that means you're not in the mood of devotional service. You're in the mood of just doing that particular activity. That even in the material world, you might like to do that activity. But devotional service means we can do anything. How many people are eager to clean a toilet, for example? But there was one devotee gives an example. That was the service he was given when he joined the movement. Your duty is clean the toilets, keep them nice and clean. So I was thinking, ooh, cleaning toilets. Ugh. No, he decided not even make that the cleanest possible toilet. He took it with great relish and delight to make that toilet absolutely the best, most possibly well-cleaned toilet you could ever have, you see. He took that service with great enthusiasm and actually relished the bliss of cleaning the toilets for Krishna. So this is the kind of spirit that Narada Muni has, that he can do anything for Krishna, and therefore he's empowered to go everywhere to distribute the mercy of Krishna to everyone. That is a very blissful position to be in, to where you have so much, you yourself are tasting so much nectar in Krishna consciousness that you can approach any person on any level of consciousness and bless them with Krishna consciousness by your enthusiasm, by your enlivenment, by your contact with Srila Prabhupada and your spiritual master. You have the potency to elevate that person in their spiritual life. So this is actually the most enlivening thing, is the mood of a preacher. Why is it so enlivening? Actually, you become very dear to Krishna. Krishna Priya, you see, or Vishnu Priya. You become very, very dear to Krishna when you are in this mood of giving Krishna, like Narada Muni is. As it is said, the more you give Krishna, the more you get Krishna. And there's a very nice song by Bhaktivinod, the song of the broker. And he is explaining how Lord Nityananda opened the marketplace of the holy name in Surabhi Kunj, and he's inviting one non-devotee to come to that marketplace to purchase the holy name. It is notable in this connection that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that he says, I will get my commission and all of your desires will be fulfilled. You see? So it's not that when you give someone Krishna consciousness by preaching nicely, by encouraging them to chant, by giving them a book, it's not that you're not being rewarded for that. By giving someone prasadam, giving so many people prasadam, like Shankara Prabhu, he's so dedicated to preaching and making devotees here, year after year, recognized all over the movement for his great service. He's not only getting certificates on the wall, but he's getting a commission from Gaur Nithai. He's being paid a commission. Spiritual assets are accumulating. So actually, the more we can distribute this mercy, we have our spiritual bank account is filling up. Actually, Prabhupada explains that the spiritual assets continue accruing until you reach a certain point where you go back to Godhead. You get the sufficient assets to actually go back to Godhead. It's sort of like saving up for a ticket to Vrindavan, you know, putting enough aside to buy your ticket to Vrindavan. Of course, it's not a mechanical process at the same time, but Krishna does take into account how surrendered we become. The more we engage in devotional service, we become purified, and therefore we become more and more surrendered automatically by that purification process. So Krishna says, inasmuch as they surrender, ye yata mama pragyante, inasmuch as they surrendered unto me, I reward them accordingly. So that surrender does get reciprocal activities on the side of the Lord. He reciprocates very nicely with all of our service. Not only does the Lord reciprocate, but all the acharyas up the whole line of disciplic succession, they reciprocate with us. You see, our initiating spiritual master reciprocates, Srila Prabhupada reciprocates, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta reciprocates, Narada Muni reciprocates, everyone reciprocates. Because that mercy is flowing up and down, it's flowing, that the service is offered up through the parampara system, and the mercy is coming down through the parampara system. So we are getting an incredible association with all these great acharyas. Just look at the list in the Bhagavad Gita, the who's who, you know, of the reality, the greatest acharyas. So we are getting those blessings coming down from all these great personalities. It's not that we're on our own struggling to become Krishna conscious. We are actually connected by dint of our surrender to Srila Prabhupada's instructions. You see, we are actually connected with all these acharyas in a very tangible, real way when we are connected with following Prabhupada's instructions. Now, if we go up on the mental plane, just concoct our own little so-called Krishna conscious program, then we lose that connection, we lose that mercy. So we should never concoct in the chariot of the mind some program, mano retainer, to go, you know, go off with the chariot of the mind and some tangent that I'm this, I'm that, concoct something other than I'm the humble servant of Guru and Krishna. That we do not want to do. That will destroy us, that will kill us. But if we remain always humble servant under these great acharyas, you see, beginning with our initiating spiritual master and going through that line of succession, then we will reap unlimited rewards. Unlimited mercy will come to us. We will become very, very enlivened and inspired in our own practice of Krishna consciousness. When we sing in the kirtan, our hearts will just be dancing in ecstasy. And then with that nectar that we're experiencing, there'll be so much nectar we can't even contain all of it. We just have to spill it in all directions so that everybody around us automatically gets that enlivenment. This I saw, the devotee who preached to me to join this movement, His Holiness Vishnu Jan Maharaj. He was living in a festival at every minute. Prabhupada actually, one letter, we were in Austin. Actually, the letter came to Vishnu Jan, but in those days, any Prabhupada letter would come, you just open it. You wouldn't wait to give it to the person it was addressed to. I mean, you just couldn't control yourself. A letter from Prabhupada arrives, the postman delivers a letter from Prabhupada. Vishnu Jan wasn't even there, but we opened it. Of course, sometimes you'd read things were confidential, you weren't supposed to read, but, well. But we were so, eager for that nectar from Prabhupada. We opened the letter and read what is Prabhupada saying to him. And Prabhupada said, when you were singing the kirtan in Los Angeles, I would feel that I was being carried to Vaikuntha by you. So there I was in Austin, this little far remote outpost temple, far, far away from the big centers, way, way out there in the Nowheresville, not in Texas. And I was feeling great enlivenment and upliftment by hearing the singing of Vishnu Jan Maharaj. And then when I saw Prabhupada's letter, it was confirmed. You see, that his singing was so sweet. There was so much joy, so much love, so much bhav, spiritual emotion. And the way that he would sing the kirtan, you can still hear on the tapes. He had some special flavor, some special taste he was getting. He was relishing taste himself. It wasn't a show just to attract people. He himself was relishing very wonderful feelings and nectar while he would chant in the kirtan. And automatically, anybody who was tuned in would feel the same thing. So, this is the spirit of Narada Muni. Whatever service we've been given by our spiritual master, by our temple authorities, whatever service we have, we should take it with great pleasure and delight. For this is the most wonderful opportunity to serve Krishna. To dive deeply into the sweet ocean of Krishna consciousness. We should just take it with great enthusiasm. And then we will naturally be able to attract so many people and some relieve so many people from their suffering conditions. This is actually amazing. If you think about the statement here, of the Shastra, enlivens all the distressed souls of the universe. You may say, well, how is that possible? I can understand that those that he came in contact with who are directly seeing him and hearing him, they could be relieved. But how can the Bhagavatam say that all the distressed souls of the universe were relieved from their distress and enlivened by his chanting, by his glorification of Krishna? That's quite amazing. And actually, it's a fact. They may not realize it, how much they're being blessed by the great personalities like Srila Prabhupada, who just recently graced this planet with the touch of his lotus feet. People may not realize how much they're being blessed, but actually that blessing is happening. Just like in Soviet Union, we saw this huge atheistic, communistic, demoniac government was causing the people so much suffering and anxiety. And there, the devotees are engaged in this, in ecstatically glorifying Krishna in kirtan, going off to the forest where the KGB wouldn't find them so they could have kirtan with complete enthusiasm, hiding in the forest to chant Hare Krishna, you see. But by that chanting, not only did they take pleasure, but actually that chanting, that intense chanting by so many devotees throughout the Soviet Union actually brought down the communistic government. You see? So they did actually enliven the distressed souls by relieving them of this communistic government. Just by kirtan, they brought down the communistic government. So, and now we're seeing, and we have so many devotees in China who are chanting Hare Krishna, and now we understand that the Communist Party is disintegrating in China right now. The people are quitting the party right and left, finding it to be irrelevant and ridiculous, to be a nonsense thing. I just read in the paper over there, but 1 million party members have defected. They've left the party. And they're desperately trying to hold it together, but people are just leaving right and left. So this is a result of so much chanting of Hare Krishna going on in China right now. So many undercover devotees there. When they give their offerings in the Vyasa Puja book, they call it Kasha Desh. So no one will know if someone, you know, it's the government, they can't put down, you know, this city in China, that city in China, because then the authorities will go looking for them to arrest them. So they just not put down Kasha Desh. That's the undercover name for China in the Vyasa Puja book. Because there's preaching going on like anything. Tamal Krishnaraj went there and spearheaded tremendously intelligent strategy, which is still going on, you see. Even though he's physically departed, what he has established in China is still going on with increasing fervor. And it's bringing, now the communist government there will also fall in China, you see, because of this Krishna consciousness movement. So in this way, we should be very encouraged and enlivened in our kirtan, in our preaching, in our service, because actually what we're doing is having an impact on world history. As I always say, why study history when you can make history? Why study this boring, karmic history when you can actually be making history at every minute by ecstatically absorbing yourself in Krishna consciousness and thus contributing to the relief of the distress that's being suffered by all the conditioned souls throughout the world? We have the greatest opportunity to be happy and make everyone else happy by this Krishna consciousness process. Following in the wonderful, wonderful, sublime, nectarian footsteps of Sri Narad Muni. So I can ask now if there are any questions. Yes.
The steps that you're offering take a certain level of purity. How does one protect from being self-righteous in that purity?
Yes. One may make some progress and then one thinks, oh, now I'm a great pure devotee. I'm very advanced Vaishnava. Everyone should bow down to me and offer me the arti because I'm advanced Vaishnava. So that will lead to fall downs. And in fact, we've seen that even in our movement, devotees who were given the authorization to act as spiritual masters were actually carried away by that position. They were getting so much worship, so much service. So that's a danger. As soon as we get some prestige or recognition for our service, on any degree, that's dangerous for us. We have to be very careful that we don't become carried away by that. We have to always remember that the more one becomes advanced in Krishna consciousness, the more you genuinely feel that you're a rotten, despicable wretch. That's the fact. That is actually the sign of advancement. As we mentioned yesterday in Boston, Srila Prabhupada is praying that, my dear Krishna, please protect me, I won't fall down. Prabhupada is actually genuinely feeling in his humility as an Uttamadhikari. He was feeling in a desperate situation that he could fall down at any minute, just begging Krishna to protect him. That is the genuine mood of humility. Of course, in his preaching, he doesn't talk like that. But internally, he's feeling that way, that I'm in a very dangerous position. I can be carried away with my senses within a minute. Please, Krishna, protect me. Please, Guru Maharaj, protect me. Please protect me. Please. Desperately. You see. So, unless we have that mood of feeling that I can fall down in any second, that actually I am not at all a great personality, if it wasn't for the grace of Srila Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas, you know, I would just be a complete rascal. Somehow or other, I was fortunate, even though I don't deserve it, even though I have no qualifications. In other words, we have to really feel ourselves that I'm not very good person at all, very good person at all. one should actually see these people I'm preaching to. If they were Krishna conscious, they'd be a much better devotee than I am, actually. But somehow I got the good fortune, so let me share it with them. See, a devotee can study even the non-devotees and see the good in them, in the non-devotees. Thinking, well, if this person was a devotee, he'd be much more hardworking than I am, much more intelligent than I am, etc. Should always try to see, we should always put ourselves in a very low position. We may not preach that way, because that is not effective preaching. Prabhupada said, I act like a king because nobody can defeat me. So you could say it's a difficult, not always an easy balancing act, to go around acting like a king who can defeat everybody in all directions, Digvijay Pandit. At the same time, feel that you're the most low wretch. You're not even worthy of setting foot inside an ISKCON temple. You see? You could say it's a difficult balancing act, but we have to master that act, otherwise we're finished. We have to learn how to do that. I mean, Prabhupada very strongly, he said that, he says, now you make Digvijay. You've heard the name. He says, now you make Digvijay, that you go from village to village, city to city, town to town, and make Digvijay, that there is God. I can prove there is God. Who are you who say there is no God? Come on! That is Digvijay. So just imagine that we are being empowered by Prabhupada to be conquering pundits who can go anywhere in the world and defeat all opposing arguments. At the same time, we have to feel that we're so contaminated, we're not even worthy of setting foot in any ISKCON temple anywhere in the world, you see. That if the devotees even let me in the door, it's their sheer kindness and mercy upon me. I'm an absolute basket case of a so-called devotee, you see. So both things are there. We have to be very enthusiastic and become very powerful preachers who can convince anyone to chant Hare Krishna. At the same time, we just have to feel that, you know, I'm just complete nonsense. How do you do that? Well, if we take help from Bhaktivinoda, he's one of the greatest helpers in this regard. His wonderful songs. We take those songs very seriously and develop those moods. Gopinath mama nivedana shuna. My dear Lord Gopinath, I'm a materialistic rascal. I'm always full of lust. You see? If we honestly take that and realize that's me. I'm a materialistic rascal. I'm lusty. I'm greedy. I'm envious. I have so many bad qualities. We have to honestly see how it is that we are indeed degraded. And that's why it's the duty of the spiritual master to chastise his disciples. Spiritual master doesn't get ego satisfaction out of chastising his disciples. He has to do that to help the disciple develop the necessary humility to protect the disciple from falling down in the future. That's one of the unpleasant duties of a spiritual master. He wants just to glorify everyone. But he has to take that position of chastising, even though he feels that he is worthy of being chastised at every minute for his nonsense, lust, anger, and greed contaminating his heart, that he has to do that service. So it is a delicate balancing act, but it's one that we all have to master if we want to make it in this movement. Many came, became big, powerful preachers, and you know, there's an old saying, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. We've seen that again and again and again in our society. Shooting stars, and you know, in the night you see some shooting star, it makes a big flash in the sky, and then poof, it's gone. So, we do not want to become the shooting stars, ISKCON shooting stars. You know, the top of the chart this month, and in the arms of a woman in the next month. You see, we don't want to be in that position. We want to become actual Sankirtan, actual Sankirtan hero, one who can remain steadily absorbed throughout the entire lifetime. That is the real Sankirtan hero, who can remain steadily absorbed in preaching throughout the entire life without deviation to the last dying breath. fully absorbed in that preaching spirit of wanting to be fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness with great enthusiasm and ecstasy, at the same time sharing it with everyone, just like our Bhakti Tirtha Swami. Down to his last dying breath now, he's coming to the end. But I was just with him in Gita Nagari, and he was so blissful and jolly, just like there was nothing wrong. He was just sharing love and compassion with me and the other devotees there in the room, as if there was not an anxiety in the world, that we would just, all we have to do is be blissful in Krishna consciousness forever and forever and forever. You see? Which is fact. So that kind of spirit of never losing our enthusiasm under any situation, always remaining dedicated to our spiritual master, to Srila Prabhupada, to the great acharyas like Narada Muni here, to carry on in the spirit that they have taught by their practical example. Always blissfully absorbed and always sharing that nectar with everybody in all directions. That is Krishna consciousness. So, if you can learn how to appreciate being corrected, that will protect you. Instead of going, who are you to correct me? Don't take that attitude. When the spiritual master corrects, when the older devotees correct, take it as a special blessing. Don't become huffy and puffy when someone, your guru or an older devotee corrects you. And Prabhupada says on one tape, he says, the student who is chastised, he is more advanced. So the more that one can learn how to take chastisement and correction without being upset, without being angry, but just take it as mercy, that is advancement. We should learn how to do this, how to be chastised and corrected. The example is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was so much chastised by his spiritual master that you are simply a fool. You see, you're simply a fool. You cannot study Vedanta. You must simply chant Hare Krishna. You're so foolish person. All you can do is chant. So he thinks, what do you mean? I'm God. How do you say I'm foolish? No. He said, yes, Guru Maharaj. I am fool. I will simply chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. I know I'm not intelligent enough to understand Vedanta. I will simply chant on your order Hare Krishna mantra. Lord Chaitanya took that position. So what is your position? What is your position? You're a fool, that's all. That's what we have to understand. I am fool. That's my position. And if we keep that mentality, and not just superficially, like the devotee who said, Prabhupada, he wrote him a letter, he said, Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen. Prabhupada's response, you're not the most anything. You're simply insignificant. So we should make this profile. Oh, yes, we go around making a show of, you know, how humble and how advanced I am because I consider myself to be so fallen. That's another trap, you see. We have to genuinely feel that way within. One of the 26 qualities of a devotee is silent. He doesn't advertise, I am this, I am that. You see? Silent. Prabhupada says, silent worker. Not advertising. No, I am this, I am that. I remember there was one devotee. He actually made a very flashy, cassette. It was called Reservoir of Pleasure. But anyway, I remember he said, they just call me the Paramahamsa Brahmachari. He didn't last very long. I haven't seen him for years. I mean, I don't see him at festivals. I don't see him anywhere. But he wanted to be known as the Paramahamsa Brahmachari. That's the way he said it. But we shouldn't try to. We shouldn't be after name and fame, even in Krishna consciousness. I gave up the material world. Now I come to the spiritual movement to become famous. Leader within the movement. That's been the downfall, actually, of many of our leaders. They had a desire to be a prominent person. It was good they did in a spiritual movement, but the problem is, if your desire is prominence, if that's your motive, You may get that prominence, but you won't be Krishna and you won't last, because prominence has no taste. Once you get it, the desire for prominence encourages you to push on. But when you actually get it, you have so many disciples falling at your feet, offering you arti, bowing down, offering you money, glorification. When you finally get it, you realize there's nothing there. It's just another illusion. Another carrot being dangled by Mayadevi in front of the donkey. When you get there, there's actually nothing there. There's no taste. There's no rus. The only taste is in pure bhakti. So, someone may come to our movement with a desire for prominence. They even get it, but then they're gone. Because they didn't want Krishna. They wanted to be Krishna. And they used ISKCON as a means of becoming Krishna, so to speak. So we have to be very careful that we just want to be the servant. That's all. We have no desire for prominence. We have no desire for recognition. We just want to serve the mission of the great acharyas. We just want to be who we actually are, devotees of God. That's all. We have no desire except to be a devotee of God. As Christ says, Father, thy will, not my will. That mood will put us in a state of complete bliss. Even if we have to be crucified, we'll take it. It's Krishna's mercy, as Christ did. Any other questions? Yes?
On that same note, you're saying that we have to think we're so low, but how do we protect against self-pity at that time, where we're thinking so low of ourselves?
Yeah, thinking so low of yourself, you just go down to Brahmacharya ashram and smash your head on the furnace.
Depression and all that.
Depression. Yeah, that's another danger, that you start wallowing in self-pity, which is just a mode of ignorance. Sometimes Prabhupada was in Dallas one time, he saw a devotee who was doing that. What was Prabhupada's response? Don't be morose, don't be morose, don't be morose. So the spiritual master has ordered us not to be morose, he's ordered us to be enlivened. So that's another trick, how to master that art of considering yourself to be lower than the straw in the street, and at the same time to be absolutely ecstatic 24 hours a day. Well, that verse really answers it, you see. The key to being able to ecstatically chant Hare Krishna 24 hours a day is to consider yourself lower than that broken beer bottle out there on the street, you see. To be more tolerant than those trees out there, you see, to take the cold Ottawa winters. I can't imagine how cold it is in winter. I'm in Texas. I'd probably find it inconceivable. Of course, we got a little sample in Europe. We didn't go in the middle of the winter. We went and we have a little sample now by going to Europe. But yeah, I just can't imagine how cold it is out there in the winter. Those poor trees out there, we'd be more tolerant than the tree. And ready to offer all respect to others without expecting even one iota of respect for ourselves, you see. That is the mood which will enable us to taste the sweetest nectar. So we should be eager for the nectar. We shouldn't think, I don't deserve the bliss of Krishna consciousness. I'm too fallen. I just deserve to be miserable, so I'm just going to be miserable. You see? No. Srila Prabhupada has ordered us to be happy. He wants us to dive deep and relish. He is happy when he sees that we are happy. If we want to please our spiritual master, then we should be happy and enlivened always in Krishna's service. The spiritual master doesn't want to see that we're miserable. He wants to see that we're happy and enlivened, jolly, in Krishna consciousness. So even if we feel we don't deserve it, we should do it to please our spiritual master. We should do it to please Prabhupada. We may feel, I don't deserve to be happy, but we should be happy to please Prabhupada. He wants us to be happy. And I joined this movement, I heard that, well, the way you would make advancement is you please the spiritual master. I was thinking, how am I going to please Prabhupada? But then they said, that they pointed out that, what is that prayer? Chatur Vidha Sri Bhagavat Prasadam. The spiritual master is pleased when he sees the devotees are taking prasadam. So, no, I can handle that. I just had to take Bishadam. I'll please Prabhupada, I'll make advancement just by taking Bishadam. Yeah, this is all right. I can take this Krishna consciousness. So I can make it. I think I can take Bishadam. So there's hope for me too, even though I'm so fallen. I can take Bishadam. So, in this way, if you can take Bishadam, then you're all right. Be happy. Take Bishadam, be happy, you'll make it. Just keep taking Bishadam. Prabhupada even one time told Vishnujan, he said, well, what if someone just wants to do nothing but eat all day? They don't want to do any service, they just want to take Bishadam. What should we do, Prabhupada? He said, just tell them that they can, as long as they can take Bishadam all day long as they chant Hare Krishna between each bite, it's all right. This is simply enjoyment. Susukam. What is the difficulty? Simply recreation. So, we should celebrate this ecstatic festival of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, thinking ourselves lower than the star on the street, offer all respect to the devotees, thinking, let them just trample on my head. But we shouldn't do that in a miserable spirit, we should do that in a blissful spirit. Let the devotees walk all over me and think, that's how I'm really going to be blissful, when the devotees are walking on top of me. Not that, oh, I deserve to be punished. Oh, let them... Not a masochistic sort of thing, but no. Understanding, this is the insider secret of how to really, really taste the sweetest nectar. It's like a greedy, drug addict is looking for the best possible hit of heroin he can get. It's self, you're very self-interested, that I want to taste the sweetest nectar. I want to relish the most intense possible happiness that I can experience. And how I do that? By just placing myself very, 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 very low. Not in the mood of punishing myself, but in the intelligent mood of understanding, this is how I will get even more nectar. The lower I can place myself, the higher my consciousness will be. It's an intelligent self-interest. The more I become humble, the more I'll taste the sweetest nectar. So it's out of greed for the nectar. The devotee puts himself in a very low position, not that, in a mood of self-punishment. An intelligent person knows how to get the nectar, how to get the sweetest inside nectar, and that is by becoming lower than the lower, than as low as you can possibly go. And lower than that, and even lower than that, and even lower than that. Questions more?
Regarding the question about the spot, that you go down and wallow, but if the mistake is correctly done, then there is no reason. Otherwise, isn't it another way of seeing that it's a false ego is hurt?
Seeing what?
Just like someone corrects, the mistake has been done and someone corrects, and then we think ourselves humble and wallowing, go to the room and start crying or wallowing, But isn't that a kind of false pride?
Yes, that's right. It's like retaliating.
On the other side, if...
instead of taking it.
On the other side, if wrongly corrected, isn't that person has a chance to... say what is right, what has happened correctly.
That was not a clear sentence to me.
Okay, just like on the other side, if one is wrongly being chastised,
yes,
doesn't that person has the opportunity to correct?
Which person? The one who is giving the wrong correction, or the one who is getting the wrong correction?
Yes, or just humbly take it. Okay, everything is all right.
Well, this question was asked in Toronto also. What do you do if you're being somebody who's not properly situated in Krishna consciousness is chastising you all the time for things you're not even doing wrong? And it's actually their fault. So what do you do then? Has that ever happened in our movement?
Well, you just humbly accept it.
So what do you do then? You humbly take it, well, they're actually right. Well, actually, one of my godbrothers wrote Prabhupada about this. He said, Prabhupada, my godbrothers are always criticizing me. He was feeling that, he wasn't really doing anything wrong, but they were unjustly criticizing. That's what he was feeling. So Prabhupada said, Same thing happened to me. My godbrothers are always criticizing me too. He said you have to be callous to the criticism. So one has to develop by proper study and by sincere application of the science of Krishna consciousness. What is the difference between when I'm being wrongly chastised and rightly chastised? One has to develop the discrimination, the judgment, and one has to find persons you can trust to always rightly correct you so you can always check with them. So you can know when I'm being wrongly chastised or rightly chastised. If I'm being wrongly chastised, I should just be callous to it. But if I'm being rightly chastised, then I have to accept it and fully surrender to the chastisement. So one has to have the discrimination to know the difference. Because our false pride will always want to say, I'm always wrongly being chastised. I never deserve to be chastised. That's ahankar, false pride. But the other hand, if I take that every criticism that's ever made by any devotee on any level is always, I always deserved it, then that's also not the proper position, because someone may wrongly correct me. We have to be able to know the difference. It's very important, and to do that you have to be very sincere. Teisham satata yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam dadami bodhi yogam tam yenam mamapiyantite. To those who were constantly devoted and worshiping me with love, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. So all we have to do is be fully observed, 24 hours a day, engaged in serving Krishna with love. And then we will have the intelligence given by Krishna within the heart to know when I'm being rightly corrected or wrongly corrected. So the right corrections I can fully surrender to, and the wrong corrections I can just say, Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for your concern. Questions more?
The term time, place, and circumstance we have for preaching purposes, but how do we make sure that we're not using that just to compromise our standards? Well, I'll do this because this place and time.
That's why Guru is there. Prabhupada actually gave lecture, or actually conversation on this principle. It was the Tate Ministry entitled it proper application of rules and regulations. It was in Mayapur, a morning walk in Mayapur. Prabhupada discussed this point. Under circumstance, rules can be broken. That's a fact. Prabhupada himself, he gave himself as an example. When he came to America, he was keeping his bhoga for his offering to Krishna in the same refrigerator that had meat. So Prabhupada made the point of, if I cried that I have to break my rules and regulations, then I would not have been able to come to this country for preaching Krishna consciousness. And then Prabhupada gives the example in this connection also of, what is that servant's name? Is it Sarup Damodar? Govindadas? The servant, the one who was massaging Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Govindadas.
So, Lord Chaitanya wakes up from his nap, and he's laying in the doorway, and he finds that Govindadas is in the room. He didn't go to take his meal. So Govindadas, why you didn't take the shot? You're sitting here in the room. He says, my lord, I cannot cross over your body. That's against the rules of Vaishnava etiquette. To step over the body of a Vaishnava is aparad. You cannot do. Well, to speak of Krishna himself, so I could not cross your body. But Lord Chaitanya observed, but you crossed my body to give me massage. To get in here, you had to cross my body to give me the massage. So if you can cross the body for coming in, why you cannot cross the body for going out? He asked him. He said, for your service I can do, but not for my sense gratification. So that is the principle. For Krishna's service, if there is need for breaking rule, you should always, if your Guru Maharaj is available, or senior devotees there, you should always double check to make sure, because your mind can, especially as young devotees, we can rationalize anything. That it's okay for me to be alone with this woman or something like that, you know, in a room because she needs counseling. No. We have to know where to draw the line. And that's why we have to always take senior guidance. So, for Krishna's service we can do, but not for our sense gratification. And when in, and always take senior guidance in these matters. And gradually you will develop that proper discrimination as you advance in Krishna consciousness to know the difference. But as neophytes, we have to always take shelter of our spiritual master and senior Vaishnavas to make sure that we're not crossing that line, that fine line between time and place and, you know, taking advantage of the opportunity for sense gratification. The example is someone is on a fast day, they're fasting from water on the fast day, complete fasting from water. So they go to take their bath, they dip down in the river, and they're underwater, and while they're down there, they go, where nobody can see. They're taking water underwater while fasting from water on a fast day, you see. While they're taking their bath, no one's looking around, they open their mouth, take some water, you see. We heard in Nirvindavan, the integrity means what you do when nobody's looking. When nobody's around to see what you're doing, how you behave then, that's integrity, or lack of it. So we have to, you know, those moments when we're alone and no one can see what we're doing, and those thoughts that we let go through our mind that nobody else can see except for us, we have to have integrity that those thoughts are pure, that they will please our spiritual master, they will please Krishna, they will please Srila Prabhupada. We have to have this integrity. Questions more? If not, we thank you all very much for kindly tolerating our presence here in your temple. You're very kind and merciful to allow us the shelter of your association. And we just beg your blessings upon us that we can become Krishna conscious and do some meaningful service for Srila Prabhupada. And we're so happy to see how nicely you all are preaching here in this very important city in the world, actually. This is a very, very important city, and it's a very, very important place near the university. So we're very happy to see how Krishna has strategically situated you in a very powerful place for preaching. And we just wish you all success in your endeavor here. And may you make thousands and millions of devotees.
Thank you very much for coming to give us your wonderful association. You and Mataji and other devotees who travel with you also. And we will pray to be able to take advantage of that, those good wishes and blessings. That we can do something else.
It's all Prabhupada's mercy.
Thank you very much.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.